Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, here at WBT. Good to have you here, coach.
Oh, man. Thursdays are my favorite day.
All right, don't tell people that because they're going to believe it, that this is your favorite day of the week.
My favorite day. Get to do WFNZ with Kyle Bailey at noon. Go over to Picante's, have a nice big bowl of, you know.
Menudo.
Chicken and rice.
Yes, sir.
Lisa Mack and the crew over there treat me right. Mm-hmm. And then come over here with a full belly and get to ready to do 3 hours of prime time radio.
See, it's funny because you and I, just to take the audience behind the curtain here a little bit, we usually talk about 1 o'clock, get an idea of what you're hot on, what I'm hot on. We're looking at the stories, start to lay out a plan. And then inevitably, probably 5 times out of 6, we end up in a situation here where the storyline totally changes right in the last half hour before the show. And that happened. I was going to lead with the gas story. We'll certainly talk about that.
Who told you I had gas?
Well, you told me about the Tampico.
The Mexican
or
food, wasn't
that's
it?
That's what happens. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I got some Kaopectate. But they got this, we got the story of the gas, and we'll talk about that. Not your gas, but the petroleum products. But now we got this announcement that just came out. In the last half hour, you heard Jeff Acheson talking about it. No doubt you've heard your friends buzzing about it. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention today eased indoor mask-wearing guidance for fully vaccinated people, allowing them to safely stop wearing masks inside and, by extension, outside of most places. That announcement coming down by Rachel Walensky just in the last 25, 30 minutes. It's a big story. This is a big deal. And it's something that we can certainly talk about. I was mentioning yesterday that I had a date in my mind when I was going to just stop wearing the mask because I had been fully vaccinated and I didn't think it was necessary for me to continue to wear a mask. Today was not the day. I didn't think of it as today was the date, but that's what ended up happening. People who are fully vaccinated against coronavirus no longer need to wear masks while indoors or outdoors or physically distance in either large or small gatherings. That's according to Dr. Rachel Walensky. Fully vaccinated individuals are still advised to wear masks while in crowded indoor settings, such as public transportation, airplanes, hospitals, prisons, homeless shelters, any of those locations. We've all longed for the moment when we can get back to some sense of normalcy, Walensky said. Based on the continuing downward trajectory of cases, the scientific data on the performance of our vaccines, and understanding how the virus spreads, that moment has come for those who are fully vaccinated. Your reaction there, Coach?
No, it's just a good day. I mean, it's progress. And I think that when you hear different, like Gavin Newsom, you know, it's like, we're heading towards not wearing masks. And then the next day, we should wear masks. And, communicated with my wife and she, you know, shared the announcement and, you know, that it's a little confusing, you know, when Fauci gets up there and, you know, it's hard to make sense of what he's saying. He had charts and a lot of big words and hard to understand for, I think, a lot of the American citizens. But net, don't have to wear masks and, you won't feel shamed walking into your grocery store.
Well, that's it. See, that's been the trigger conversation that I've had over the last couple of days. I've been talking about it with Bo Thompson and on the show yesterday. You know, the idea of, okay, why am I walking in the store with it when I know that I've had the vaccine and I'm not gonna make this a referendum on vaccines, but the fact of the matter is, if you've got that vaccine, why are you wearing a mask? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, it's a great question that Rand Paul asked a number of times to Anthony Fauci, which was, well, are you saying the vaccine doesn't work? Or are you saying you're still afraid? Or are you saying, like, what are you saying exactly? So in the state of North Carolina, okay, we have 10.6 million people in the state of North Carolina. There's a breakout over at the FoxNews.com website about the number of people who've been vaccinated relative to the population. So in North Carolina, 2.8 million people have been vaccinated. There are 6.1 million doses of vaccine available in North Carolina on a population of 10.6 million. That's roughly the numbers that you see across the board with states of similar size, right? New Jersey, 3.4 million on 10 million people in the state. Arizona, 2.6 on 7.6 million in the state. South Carolina, 2 million vaccinated, 2.8 million available doses on 5.6 million people. So what they're essentially saying is they've hit herd immunity for all intents and purposes. And they're saying the vaccines are available to everybody. If you want to go get one, get one. You don't want to get one, don't get one. That's up to you. But they're contending essentially that we're in herd immunity at this point.
That's good. That's great news. And I think it's reflective, like you mentioned, of the stock market. You know, again, I was at Picante's for lunch, and Lisa Mack was talking about the crowds that they have had this week. Record crowds, even pre-pandemic numbers. And I think people, one, just glad to get out. Two, they have great value over there for lunch. And then a lot of construction going on in this side of Charlotte. I mean, there's cranes everywhere in this city. And
life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Including over here, and so a lot of the construction workers go in there for lunch.
We'll certainly take your phone calls on there. News Talk 1110.993 WBT. I'm Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. You got enough gasoline in that car to get home, coach? Did you need to leave early, maybe get a head start?
You know, my financial advisor, Chad Kuprionic, at Janney here in Charlotte, sent me a text Sunday saying, hey, I'm hearing there's going to be some issues with the pipeline. Suggest you go get gas. So we all did that on Monday. And then I was supposed to go to do some deep sea fishing, leave Tuesday to set Charleston, fish Wednesday, come back this morning. And I was really concerned about getting down there and not being able to get it back.
That's a good point.
And so that and the weather, we just decided to postpone it. So, yeah, I've got plenty. I've got range right now, 375, I think.
That's good.
We've got to go to Chapel Hill this weekend for my daughter's graduation from UNC.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So hopefully by then, if we need gas, things will be open up on Saturday, Sunday.
See, I was very optimistic last night going to bed, thinking about the gas situation, because, of course, the last thing I would think about as I go to bed is the gas situation. But I think what's going to happen is what happened with the toilet paper. And that is, once you start getting once you start getting gas in the tanks, it's not going to be the people that have 22 miles of gas left in their tanks. It's going to be people who have 193 miles topping their tanks back off. And until you work through that wrinkle, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. So I'm in the camp of the people who are saying more like 7 days, 10 days before we kind of get back to normal. That's
so you're not giving me a shot at getting back from Chapel Hill.
I think you ought to plan on getting a VRBO or something up there. You may be there for a little bit.
Yeah. Or you know what I was thinking about doing is getting,
take your Tesla.
I was thinking about getting one of those Rubbermaid bins and loading it up with gas, like I've seen some photographs of.
What? I don't know what these people. I saw a woman filling up a garbage bag with gasoline. Rubbermaid bins.
You can't make this stuff up.
A couple of beer bottles with rags, but then that was Antifa. they were going out for the night. That's obviously what was going on there. But yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand exactly why. I mean, what are you doing with the bin? You're going to stop short. First of all, have you ever loaded one of those bins? Like, for example, your daughter's graduating college.
Yes.
Okay. Those are very popular to do move-ins and move-outs.
Right.
I have personally loaded one of those bins with books.
Right.
It only holds so much because what happens is it just kind of collapses through the center and everything goes, whoa.
How's it go?
It goes, whoa.
Yeah.
So you have gasoline and then you go to lift it.
It's not going to be pretty. Let's say 30 gallons of gasoline is heavy. Let's say she's good enough to get it in the car.
Yeah. Don't stop short.
Don't stop short. Don't make a hard left or hard right.
Oh, gosh. Because you're never, I mean, you are going to have, you're going to have those guys that like that smell following you like you're a fishmonger in the neighborhood with cats. They're going to be following you all the way home because they're going to be like, woo, score. I mean, I don't know. All I know is I parked my car special last night.
Special?
We parked our car special last night because I'm on to what people will try to do. So what I did was I made sure me and my wife's cars, we went gas tank to
gas tank. Like cheek to cheek.
Like cheek.
Romantic. But, very romantic
well,
of you.
It was yin yang.
Yang.
And so what we did
Who's the yin?
The yin?
Yeah, were you yin?
Mine was the yin. She was the yang. So it was like I got it right next to it, and I was smart enough to realize that I had done both passenger sides.
Right.
Because if one's a driver's side,
right,
that's a miserable way to get out of
the
car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we did both passenger sides. So this morning, it was incumbent upon me to get out there and extricate those vehicles because the thing...
Extricate,
because the thing you never budget in that consideration is how you're going to snap your rear view mirrors when you back straight out.
Right.
It's just going to go pow,
pop. Yeah.
Pop.
I feel like I'm watching Batman as a kid.
It's like,
let me hear that noise again.
So you back up, you go boom, and you go, oh, what did I do?
Oh.
Now I'm out of side view. And
right.
Gasoline.
And gasoline.
What am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
But you would have to be very thin to fit between those vehicles to siphon that gas out.
Right.
You'd have to have one side. That's how thin you'd have
and
to.
And a long hose.
I also put a pool floaty between that too.
Did you really?
Just to make it difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I go back. I'm 59. So I go back to the gas shortage in the 70s.
Odds and evens?
And so... I remember when gas was a quarter, okay? And I'd go get a gallon of gas, the metal gallon jug to go fill up the lawnmower for a quarter.
From Henry Ford.
From the mobile station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got the green stamps. And you got the, you know, if you filled up, you got the giant glasses, you know, the New York giant glasses.
Without a doubt, like sure,
six. Yeah. That was our fancy crystal at home. And so... I'm going to Davidson's basketball camp in 1977 on high school on Long Island. Bob McKillop was my high school coach my first 2 years. He was an assistant at Davidson. His brother-in-law, Jerry Cunningham, and his younger brother, Danny, me and my brother, John, take off in a station wagon. I think it had Woodside.
Love that.
And, you know, 440 AC, right? Four windows, 40 miles an hour.
Love that.
And... I really, now I might get some negative feedback here, but I really am proud of my resourcefulness because back then it was odd, even days. Like if your license plate was an odd number on the odd number on the calendar, you got gas.
Right.
And even vice versa. So I'm looking at the calendar, I'm saying we're going down on the odd day, which is good because Jerry's family's station wagons, but we're coming back on an even day. That could be an issue. And I knew my dad had some old license plates under the bed.
Good to know.
And so I went under the bed, and it, bada bing, it was even. So I stashed that in my bag, and on the way back, we got into Staten Island, and we needed some gas. So I said...
You had the hookup.
I get on my...
Genius.
Change it, boom, go into the line, get the gas...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
On your way.
On our way. On our way.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterble Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. Great to be here with you.
Yeah, man.
I want to use this call from Dean on one as an entree to this next part of the conversation. Dean, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today, sir?
I had a thing about this Colonial Pipeline and the fine or what they paid, you know, what they were extorted and everything. It seems like that the the consumer's getting screwed, the gas stations are getting screwed, and Colonial. I mean, you know, and I just wanted to make this similarity, like when Target or something, when there's a breach or something, Target gives you like a year of credit monitoring.
Right.
Shouldn't Colonial give us all like coupons for 20 cents off a gallon next time we stop by or something?
Yeah. Well, Colonial's just a pipeline company, but it's a fair point, and I appreciate that call. Here's what happened. The Colonial Pipeline Company is the company that was targeted by these hackers, these international criminals. And yesterday, there was an article that moved about this time yesterday, talking about this ransomware that was attached to the Colonial Pipeline. The Washington Post reported that the Colonial Pipeline admitted and came out and said, we're not paying the ransom. We didn't pay the ransom. The ransom's not been paid. Then we find out today, in fact, it had been paid. Colonial Pipeline paid the ransom to the hackers. Company said the ransom was paid hours after the attack. Once the ransom was paid, the hackers provided Colonial with a decrypting tool to restore its computer system that controlled the pipeline that carries 100 million gallons per day of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel from Texas to New Jersey. 100 million gallons of that. There's no mention in the report which cryptocurrency Colonial paid the hackers. The FBI said the hacking group is called the Dark Side. They're believed to be located in Eastern Europe or Russia. The FBI requested companies and local and state governments not pay ransom upon an attack because there's no guarantee the hackers will unlock the files. Okay. So what do you think would happen to the Colonial Pipeline Company if they came out and said, we're not paying the ransom, we didn't pay the ransom, we don't care? At some point, Antifa, or whatever version of lunacy that would manifest, would show up and start attacking Colonial. People would be furious that we didn't have any energy.
Right.
So they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. In addition, they didn't pay the ransom. You paid the ransom.
Yeah, no question.
They're going to put that on the cost of doing business form. You pay it. Okay, when you raise the minimum wage to $22 an hour, the company doesn't pay it. You pay it in your $7 cheeseburger.
Right.
That's just, companies are pass-throughs.
No question.
They pass through all the expenses and have a profit line built in. So here,
I know who's behind
the Dark Side?
Yeah.
Hunter? Now, who is it?
Gary Larson.
No, that's the cartoon in the newspaper. Are you thinking of the Far Side?
Far Side.
You're thinking of the Far Side? Are you talking Doonesbury?
No, not Doonesbury. Gary Larson.
Very, very possible.
I think he's behind it.
Look, it's very possible. It's very possible. But the reality is, this gasoline needs to get restored, and we're going to have a problem here. We're going to have a problem. Now, I'll give you those details in just a second, but I got a very special call for you to take right now. And we're going to go out there on the phones. And we're going to talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to the show. He's got a book report for you, Coach.
Bring it, Jim. We dropped. He cut. What?
What the
Jim.
Heck?
Oh,
Jim,
no,
you hung
Jim.
Up. That's no good. I got to think about this now. I got to think about five for fighting there. We got to put him in the penalty box when
he
calls back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We always take him as the last call of the show. He must have been overcome with joy.
He must have. Or he just had us on permahold thinking he's going to be the last call and was doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Did you punch the wrong button over there, Josh? Did you dispatch Jim to the next world? That's terrible. He's been telling me for days that he's reading your book.
He's a slow reader. It's
so
a
what you should do
book.
Is I want you to think about the book and maybe test him. What color jersey did I have on page 36? Something like that.
Right.
And then see if he really read the book.
Right.
Did you do the book? Did you do a book on tape? Did you read the book?
Not yet. I've been putting that off. That's a lot of work. I'm almost done, but I've been dragging my feet.
So you will be the voice
yes,
of the book.
Yes, I'll be the voice of the book.
So I always wonder about this. I don't listen to books on tape. I read them usually. Will you do the voices of multiple people? So, like, if you're in a conversation and you're like, and then I talked to Dean Smith, and Dean Smith said, and then you do his voice.
Yeah,
and
that's a good idea. I might have to do that. Ah, Matthew. you'll be lucky to play by the time you're a junior. And then I thought, well, I'll show you, coach.
Right. See, like something like that. Like, could it be like, why did you take that shot?
Right. Yeah. Who on Matthew's team thought that was a good shot? Raise your hand. And I wonder, Stick, a.k.a. James Worthy, raise your hand. Something like that?
See, that would be good. It'd be very dramatic.
Yes.
You know, I get somebody else that we could use also for a voice on this.
Who?
704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT, Boomer Von Cannon. You know what I'm saying there, Boomer? You could be the voice of the crowd cheering him on or booing him.
Oh, James Worthy.
Uh-huh.
His nickname was Stick.
Stick.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT, Brett Winterbull Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. Hey, we got people who want to talk about vaccines. I think they got some pretty important points they want to raise. So let's go out and talk to John next up. Hey, John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering how the grocery store is going to know if you've been vaccinated if you walk in without a mask.
Well, that's the big question. I guess it's going to be the honor system, right? I mean, they can't force you to produce evidence of your vaccine. So I think it's all going to be the honor system.
Yeah, because we can't have IDs, because that would be, you can't have an ID to vote. So you can't.
Well, but would you, okay, but would you want to carry a vaccine ID? I mean, honestly?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. All right, I mean, are you going to carry one? I don't know that I'm going to carry one.
No.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that want to know, you know, my real name. I'm not going to show my ID. You know?
I know.
704-570-1110. I got to be, you know, I want to be under the radar and over a barrel. Here's
under the radar, over a barrel.
Oh, look at this. Oh, this is good. Tom, you're an interesting man. Tom, welcome to the show. Tom, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brett. Hey. Look, I appreciate your position on wearing the mask. I think you may get challenged in the retail environments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was out and about running some errands and decided to run a little experiment.
Yep.
Went into one of the local grocery chains. I won't mention any names.
Sure.
And without a mask, and nobody said a word. Went from there to a big box wine merchant.
Gotcha.
And was asked to leave the store because I wouldn't put a mask on, even though I said, you understand the CDC guidelines say I don't have to.
That's right.
And they said, well, that's our store policy. So until the retailers catch up with the CDC,
right,
we're all going to be challenged.
Well, so here's the thing. So was this today?
Yeah, this was just an hour ago.
Okay, so I think what's going to have to happen is this is going to have to digest through the system, and I'm sure that by this time next week, I'm willing to suspect that by this time next week, they are not going to be challenging that kind of stuff, because it's going to be much more trouble for them when everybody has just seen the announcement on television and heard people say, if you're vaccinated, you're in the clear. Now, they could certainly, it's a private business. They can enforce whatever rule they want to enforce, and you need to choose where to shop accordingly.
Understand that, and I sure hope that they catch up with things quickly, because all of us want to get back to normal.
Well, here's the thing I would say, and I'm not saying this, but I'm just saying this as a, you know, as your friend on the radio. You didn't mention the name. You didn't mention the name of the establishment, so I'm not going to ask you to do that. But if people start mentioning names of establishments where that's happening, I think we'll find that the policy changes pretty quickly. But I think, in fairness to everybody, this is an hour and a half old. You've probably got managers on duty that are going by the letter of what they've got on a memo, and this hasn't processed through. So I think I'm willing to give people 24, 48 hours before we go, you know, DEFCON 3. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Definitely, this call wasn't DEFCON 3. It was just...
No, but it's true. It's a good point.
Point.
Yep.
That we need to get the retail world to catch up with things.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend. Well said. I appreciate you being out there. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, am I wrong? I'm going to extend a little grace to these places.
Well, you know what? Let's put the shoe on the other foot.
Yes, sir.
That would be awkward. It hurts.
It's not fitting right.
And if this was something that the left didn't like, you know darn well they'd be calling out the stores.
So you're saying, like, if the store, for example, as you went to walk into the store, said, "Show me your ID before you come in the store." We know the left is very anti-ID. Like, that would be, there would
they'd
be like,
shame the store.
There'd be a march outside.
Yeah, 100%.
Would they be on the lawn of the CEO? Would they be like at the house with a bullhorn and pre-made signs?
If it didn't change right away.
That's right. That's right. This is right. Now, here's what's interesting also. They say inside, outside, right? Inside and outside. Size doesn't really matter. And social distancing is now out the door. So you can be together inside, outside. Your size doesn't matter. And you can not have to socially distance regardless of size of crowd or size of spatial distancing. So we're basically back to let's go to the movies.
Well,
let's ride an amusement park ride.
I think they talked about indoors, they recommend you wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the confusion.
But if you have the shot, they're not making you wear
them. Yeah. And, you know, on Wednesdays, you can do whatever you want.
So odds and evens, and then there's Wednesdays?
Odds and evens and Wednesdays. What kind of what's the plate? What's your plate number?
I got it's a vanity. It's all letters.
Oh, so it's all letters.
I'm out of luck.
You're out.
That's it.
You're out. You're done.
You know, it's Radio Man.
Doesn't matter the size.
That's a problem because I bought one size fits all, right. But apparently that doesn't fit the size.
Right, not my size.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. You're quite svelte.
Yeah.
I mean, this is now, here's what's interesting to me. Are we going to have gas first, or are we going to have free access to retail establishments first? Because I know if we go to the restaurants first, we will have gas later. But the retail places, will we have access to retails sans a mask, or are we going to have gas first? What's your betting?
Well, I just checked with Wynn Resorts in Vegas, and the odds are that we will have gas before full sans masks in retail outlets.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Two to one.
2 to 1.
2 to 1.
I know a guy. Do you mask up when you're out there on the links?
Heck no.
But you know what's interesting? If you eat enough links, you'll gas up.
Oh, big time.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
I did the switch around right
you
there.
You did.
I went right around the back.
Yeah.
And there you go.
But boom, bomb, boom, bomb.
Speaking of boom, boom, bomb, I want to talk about what's going on.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
On over there in Israel. Hey, he thinks he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't. Hey, look, it's the president on TV. I'm Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. He is speaking after the CDC says vaccinated people can end mask use and social distancing. Now, hold on a minute. You know what's going to happen? It just dawned on me. What was the signature thing he said about when we could not have to social distance and wear masks? He gave us a date.
Wasn't it July 4th?
July the 4th, you can barbecue in your backyard with a couple of people. So what he's now going to say is, Hey, I sped this thing up for you guys.
Yeah.
I said July 4th. It's May 13th, just in time for Cinco de Mayo for you to celebrate. No, Mr. President, that was two weeks ago. That was like last week. But for Cinco de Mayo, you guys can hang out now. Viva Biden. You know, and so the thing is, he's out there. He's got no mask on. How many times
does he have mask lines?
He does. But he had the mask on earlier today when he was talking about the pipeline, but then when he left, he didn't mask back up and go. So here's the question, because I haven't seen Vice President Harris in days. Has she been told she doesn't have to wear the mask anymore? Because she's like all traveling all over the place as part of the border issue, but not at the border.
Yeah, she travels all over but the border.
But the border.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So look at he's like
cheesing hard.
Is this a victory lap? What do we got going on here? He's all, yes, in fact, I feel like I should tell you right now, I haven't worn a mask in 6 months, except when I'm on TV. So I think he's going to say this is like a job saved or created. This is
right.
This is a holiday saved or created, and so no masks. So this is interesting. Did he know this was coming, or did he not know this was coming? Like, did he know the CDC was going to do this on this date, or was this an audible called? Because let's be honest, he's starting to get a little swamped. He's right. Getting swamped with the pipeline.
Yep. He needed good news.
Border issues. He
needed good news.
But he had
jobs creation, stimulus checks.
That's correct. So what happens?
So they give him some good news that he can release. But why wouldn't he be the one to release that news? Or is that not...
Well, he would have the CDC do it because the president doesn't really have any authority to say anything about masks. The CDC can do a medical type recommendation. So remember, you still got to wash your hands. You got to keep that magic soap handy. You got to keep those wipes handy. Got to, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Joe Biden, President Biden is saying, you know, okay, we can end the mask use if you're vaccinated and you've got the social distancing down. And again, the big question becomes, what's the metric there? How do we know? How do we know that, you know, that you are, in fact, vaccinated? We're just taking it on.
But again, I go back to, if you're vaccinated, why should you worry about somebody else?
That's a fair point. In fact, Fauci said something about this. I had the clip. I'll try to dig it back up for us to play it. He said something about that because he said, essentially, if I have the vaccine, I can still get COVID. This was last night on the TV show he did with the president on NBC. So he said last night, if I have the vaccine and I am out there running around without a mask on, I can catch COVID-19, but I'm not going to end up in the hospital. I'm not going to end up super sick and dying, basically. So I could still transmit that. So that was the data not 24 hours ago.
Gotcha.
But now the data is, hey, everybody. I mean, he's really, look at this. I mean, he's really, a couple five-hour energies going there, I think.
He squints a lot. Is that because he's trying to read the teleprompter?
Well, he's outside. You do tend to squint a lot more when you've got the sun right on you. And, you know, he's somebody who's, this is late for him in the day. Yep. Usually they'll put the lid on at 4:30, 5 o'clock. So we are getting into the wee small hours of the morning. I mean, it's
early bird special. Early
bird special. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100%. So that's also one part. Let me grab a call from Kim real quick here. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So glad to get through.
Yes.
I just listen to you guys. I have so many more things to just add to this.
Go ahead.
I am a teacher in a neighboring county.
God bless you.
And we've had kids. We've been going to school since August.
Sure.
I've called before and we've talked about that, but you know, I'm fully vaccinated because our county went ahead and said, let's do this early before most everybody else did.
Right.
But, you know, our kids came back and then all of a sudden they said, oh, by the way, we're not even going to take temperatures anymore. So that was another shock. And so we come in not taking temperatures, not checking anything like that.
Right.
And two of our staff members get COVID who were fully vaccinated because most of the staff in this county were fully vaccinated if you were over 55 by Valentine's.
Sure.
And then everybody else got it.
Right.
So I got two teachers who can tell you one of them is still out, and she will tell you that it will kick your butt, even if you've been vaccinated. So that's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I really called about was about the whole masking thing.
Yes.
My husband and I like to go skeet shooting or clays, you know?
And
you can't find ammunition, okay? And so I went to a store, and there was a sign on the door, and it said, we don't want you to wear a mask because we want to be able to see your face. That was a shock.
Interesting.
And Yeah, it was really interesting. So I asked them about it, and they're like, yeah, we want to know who's coming in if you're buying guns and ammunition.
Sure.
But I just happened to be, you know, after school, I'm going and doing some pickup stuff, and I'm sitting in front of another big box store, and I'm watching people because I wanted to make sure I got on. So I'm just sitting here watching people either do pickup or walk in and go purchase some things. And they're all still wearing their masks. Mm-hmm. I guess they don't know. So I'm trying to see if it was, you know, I just
want to
see if anybody's kind of out there doing what they say they can do. I'm still going to wear my mask because I don't want to get it.
Well, and look, and you're in a enclosed environment with a number of students at the school, obviously, right?
My high school students, it's all, you know, we're constantly, pull your mask up.
Sure. Are you all doing, do you have the plexiglass dividers or is it just social distancing?
No.
Yeah, I guess.
Not at our school.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some teachers who put that up for themselves,
mm-hmm.
but no.
Yeah.
No, I've got a class of you know, and we're full-time, and all of our kids are back. You know, we didn't, you know, as soon as they said go back, we all went back, and we're 5 days, and... But yeah, so.
Well, I appreciate you you checking in, Kim, and God bless you for being out there teaching these kids and giving them some sense of normalcy. But, you know, I hope everybody stays safe and healthy. Thanks for checking
in.
You got
it. Thanks,
good to talk to you. That's Kim. So President Biden said in his statement, because I'm reading the crawl on CNN, that you can now shake hands, maybe even give someone a hug.
Ooh, I bet you he did.
Let me tell you something here. Okay, can you sniff hair? That's the question I want to know about. Gee, your hair.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Smells terrific. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Happy to be here with you on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. I hope you're being patient with the gas lines. You know, it's important to be patient. News Talk 1110993 WBT. Coach Matt Doherty is with me today, by the way. Presented by Neogenics, stem cell and regenerative therapies where all you have to lose is pain. Watching this this drama play out. I'll go back to the phones here in just a few moments. But I'm watching this drama play out at night when I go home. And it's nothing to do with what's going on in my house or with my family. But I've been watching very closely the coverage of this nightly fight that's taking place there in Israel and in Gaza between Hamas and the Israelis. And there's a channel I've been watching. I get it on the television provider that I use at my home, but I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to endorse. But the television provider I use at my home has ITV, I-24, which is an Israeli channel that's in English, but it's coming out of the Middle East and New York. And so they do this live coverage every single night of what it is that's going on. So you've had 1,600, 1,700 rockets fired from Gaza into Israel, Tel Aviv, a number of locations. You have had a great deal of unrest on the streets in places that are very well known and some that are not well known to Americans. But in places like Acre, which we would call Acre, in places like Lod, in places in these different communities, there's actually what's going on is you have Hamas and Israel going at it militarily. But imagine, if you would, that's sort of a civil conflict taking place between two elements, right? You have the state of Israel and you have Hamas in Gaza. And then on top of that, you've got race riots and religious riots taking place every night as well. So you have Jewish Israelis, you have Arab Israelis, you have Christian Israelis, you have Muslim Israelis, you have all these different groups of people that are living in a very tight piece of real estate. I mean, we're talking about, just to give you a perspective of this, Gaza, which is where Hamas is based, Gaza's, they're shooting rockets up, and they're getting rockets all the way up into Tel Aviv and even up as close as parts of Jerusalem. So if you were to drive from Gaza up to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, that's like a 47-mile drive. Like, that's the tightness of the space we're talking about here, okay? And so these reporters are incredible. And I watch this every night, and I'm transfixed by it. Because remember back during the civil unrest we had all last summer with the riots in the cities? And then remember how you would see these reporters kind of standing in the middle of it, watching the clash between the police and demonstrators, or watching demonstrators burn buildings down, and CNN would tell you it's a peaceful protest, looting buildings, destroying property, billions and billions of dollars in damage. So I want you to imagine that same sort of scenario, but except it's happening in Israel, and you have reporters that are out there doing stand-up with a microphone in their hands. And these are young people, 25, 30 years old, and they don't have like a bunch of disaster gear on. They're just basically in street clothes, and they're like, hey, look at this. It's a roving mob. And now they're fighting in the middle of the street, and they'll report on it in real time. They even have terms for things there that are based on terms that are here, but are not the same meaning. So you'll hear discussion in the last 24 hours of what they call lynching that has taken place over there. Now, we know what a lynching is, and that's a horrible, horrible crime. But they use the word lynching, but lynching is a word they use for when somebody is pulled from a vehicle and beaten within an inch of their life. It's these terms that are used in these conflicts, and the people being blamed the most for the street violence are extremists on both sides. They say so. You have extremist Palestinian Arab elements and extremist right wing Israeli Jewish Israeli elements who are fighting in the streets. And what they do is they go on social media platforms like Telegram or Discord or whatever, and they basically set these fights up all day for where they're going to meet and go for it. So that's going on.
Mm.
So the people getting all the blame are the cops, because the reporters are going, how come you're not breaking this up? Well, it's like saying, okay, we got 30 cops over here, but now they're fighting way over there in the park. Now they went into an apartment building and they're breaking windows. They're breaking property. It's very similar to that. But imagine like what you saw in Minneapolis, and then on top of it, missiles are coming in.
Right.
Like actual missiles are like, you see that they're firing these Katyusha rockets that they get from that they got from the Iranians. And so you see them and they're going woof woof woof.
You've
woof,
been great with woof, the sound effects today.
Woof woof woof. But I'm telling you, they shoot hundreds of these rockets, and these rockets are like the size of this studio, basically. I mean, lengthwise, right? Lengthwise. And they're just going up off these rocket launchers, off these trucks. Woof 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 woof, woof, right? And then they put Iron Dome up, which is like Missile Command when we were kids. And they're just going, bing, 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 bing. And they're intercepting.
This is unbelievable.
They intercept them.
This is unbelievable.
But I'm telling you, so they intercept them. And they're like, okay, looks like three of them got through. Now they're going all the way down and in. They're going to hit someplace. They land and they detonate. And people get hurt. People get killed. It's like this surreal thing. And the only way I can describe this to you is, when I would be on the West Coast, because we don't have any weather, and we would watch hurricane coverage here, there on the West Coast, I'd watch it all weekend, and when I would go outside, I'd have a panic attack, because I would expect to see a hurricane outside, and there's no hurricane outside. So I'm watching this for the last 3 nights. Like, no one in my house will, like, come and hang out with me, because I'm just watching this war coverage. And in between, they got missiles going off, going, boom, 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 right, all that. They got Hannity in Israel. It's not Hannity, but like the Hannity guy from Israel. And he's yelling at somebody else. They got a split screen with missiles. And they got this reporter out there watching these two gangs fighting each other. And it's like, you look at it, you go, wow, this may not be the end times, but it's...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Starting to look like it. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterbull and the coach, Matt Doherty. So I want to just close the loop very quickly on this Israel thing I was talking about. This has been going on for basically all week long. This unrest in the streets, the missile attacks, things like that. And the reason I bring this up is for a much more important point. If you put on CNN right now, their lead story right now is House GOP meets to discuss Liz Cheney's replacement.
As my dad would say, big whoop.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. You had President Biden come out and talk about the masks going away. You have CDC talking about the masks going away. We had a pipeline discussion, all that sort of stuff. This thing is like a big, huge deal, what's going on in Israel, and I'm not seeing any coverage on CNN, NBC, CNN, CNBC, ABC, CBS. Fox does a little bit of it at night, late at night, when it's really, you know, very dramatic. MSNBC can't be bothered with any of that stuff. And this is why I bring this story up to you, to describe to you what it is I've been watching. So this morning I get up very early, and I put this channel back on to see what's going on in the overnight, because there's 7 hours ahead of us. So they're having one of these discussions while the police activity is going on, and it's a political debate. And they ask a guy, and this was said by a number of people over an hour that I was watching. They said, well, is President Biden going to get involved? Is there a role for the Americans in what's happening here? To a person, the experts who sit there on these panels, just like you see on Fox or any of the other channels, are saying, no, there's no role for America here, because it's clear that President Biden wants to focus on Russia, China, and Iran, and wants to do deals with them. And he's focused on his domestic policy. So there really is no role for the United States to be involved in what's going on in Israel. Now, you think about what President Trump did for the 4 years that he was president. Moved the embassy to Jerusalem, was a staunch supporter of Netanyahu and the Israeli people, fought back the attacks by people like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and AOC, who have all been giving tactical air support to Hamas over there, in their words in the Congress. Brought about, what, four of the Abraham Accord agreements. These were treaties, agreements, so that there'd be peace in that region. And to hear, it's heartbreaking to hear, not 125 days into this guy's administration, the people in Israel are going, yeah, there's no role for America over here right now, because they're not going to pay any attention to us. This is a big freaking deal. I mean, remember, they said that Trump was going to be the guy that was America alone and pull up all the relationships with everybody. He went and he chased Kim Jong-un. He did these deals with the Saudis and the other Middle Eastern states, wanted to pull the troops out of Afghanistan. Biden is not even regarded as a factor in the conversation.
No, and he bragged about his foreign diplomacy.
Exactly right. In fact, you got a clip, Josh. Give me a clip really fast, then we're going to go to the gym. Give me what clip do I need? Last night, he's on MSNBC talking about America. He's talking about vaccinations in America. Cut 32. He says, I've talked to 40 leaders over Zoom calls and Skype.
They want to know.
40 leaders, I've talked to them. And they have one question for me. Go.
They want to know, is America really back? Are we really back in the game? Are we going to engage? And so I just think, I know this sounds, well, I know what it sounds like. But, you know, it's never, ever, ever been a good bet against America.
Okay, you drop it right there. Drop it right there. So world leaders are asking me, is America back? Well, we're not back there. With one of our, we are the first country that ever recognized them as a state.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not back there. We're not involved. In fact, I think the phrase they used in describing our approach was meager. Meager. Okay.
Meager.
So I guess we're not back. Or we're back with China, Iran, and Russia. We're not back with, like, an irrelevant place like the Middle East. It's incredible. All right, we got a special call, Coach. This is for you. This is Jim. Jim wants to talk about your amazing book. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Yes, thank you for letting me back on. I don't know what happened there, but we're going to get direct to the point here this time. I felt so good about reading Coach's book. I had the good fortune to talk to the athletic director at my son's school, and he's going to recommend it to everybody on the coaching staff.
How about that?
Wow.
How about that,
yeah.
Jim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he already knew of you. He knew everything about you. I told him, hey, you should call into the show today.
What high school?
Oh, can we say it?
Yeah, of course. You're all the way over there.
Granite Hills High School.
Granite Hills. Really good football program.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they were amazing. My son was on the team. He had the benefit of knowing what triumph and victory was because of the amazing coaching staff. It was two beautiful seasons. Since he left and started doing cross country, they started losing miserably, and everybody was saying, Jimmy, you got to get back on the team.
What position did Jimmy play?
Cornerback.
Cornerback or quarterback? Quarterback.
Corner. He was in for one play. He was like on third string, and he decided, well, I want to be a part of a smaller program.
a bigger part of a smaller program and joined cross country right before coronavirus.
Gotcha. Wow. Gotcha.
Yeah, so he practiced and trained and played and went to meets all through the coronavirus. I was so proud of him for making the decision against my advice, mm-hmm. you know, to go and do his own thing. And it's like he already read the book.
Yeah, Jim, well, it means a lot to, you know, for you to say nice things about the book, Rebound from Pain to Passion, and the AD suggesting or getting the book for his coaches. And, you know, you can go through Amazon or you can go through me, and, you know, I'll have Josh give you the email if you want to go through me, and I could maybe personalize the books for the coaches.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell them that. I'll go make the phone call and
that's cool.
And tell them that. For myself, I had to download it and pay for it like three times.
Well, you know, it's a special tax for California that I've incorporated. So, yeah, and I got to, you know, my daughter's graduating. She needs a little trip around the, you know. I mean,
that's okay.
I got to do what I got to do.
I went up on Kindle because I downloaded so many times. I thought, hey, there must be a lot of people on the West Coast that
want to
read this book.
Yeah. That's awesome, Jim.
Yeah, there are so many life lessons in there. There's so many things about leadership. I've led people in the military, in the workplace. Of course, I'm a family man. And I'm just about to embark on the greatest leadership task, the greatest team ever. And that's the team that me and my son are going to build together as he embarks on his 18th birthday here in about a month. And these tools are like just in time. If you think you know everything about leadership and your code of conduct and honor, you got to read this because it will give you the tool for those things that you've been thinking about yourself and about how you conduct yourself with other people, that the tools are right there in there. The only one thing I'd like to say about training, in the chapter about training.
Yes.
The quote that I'd like to see that I thought of is that Abraham Lincoln, that if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I will use 4 of those hours to sharpen my axe.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's a great quote. Hey.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Thank you for serving.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Whoa, I got a piece of information here, Coach, that's really quite something interesting, especially
really?
For you.
Whoa.
Fauci. To deliver. I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. You're going to get mad.
Well, I know what he's doing Sunday.
He's giving a speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's giving a speech at UNC.
Yeah, not in person, though.
Oh, he's Zooming it?
Zoom.
He's Zooming it.
Bang Zoom.
I thought it was safe
Bang
to go out.
Bang Zoom, Alice.
Now, this is the way this is written by the National Pulse. Fauci to deliver commencement address at controversial university conducting gain-of-function research in Wuhan.
How about that? Mm. Talk. I mean, I don't want to, you know, ruin your mojo.
No,
I
need zero mojo.
I tried to, after Rand Paul went after Fauci.
Yes.
And it was the first time I've seen Fauci without a mask in a...
Good point.
You know, in inside, well, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the... That term,
gain of function.
Gain of function. Yeah. I Googled it, try to understand it better. A little bit above my pay grade.
Yeah.
Help us understand what that means.
So as Rand Paul explained it, gain of function is when you take a virus that occurs in the animal world. Okay? So it occurs in the animal world, SARS or something like that, right? And you then take it and alter it, supercharge it, so that it actually becomes something that could move from the animal world into the world of humans, Homo sapiens. And so you have a situation wherein you say, okay, why are we supercharging this virus so that it can then attack humans? Well, we do it because we want to find out what we would have to do to stop it if it attacked humans. If it naturally crossed over into our world, what will we do then? Well, the problem is it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't occur in nature. So you've basically supercharged this thing, and then it went from point A to point B to 3 million dead people.
Yeah, it went from a test tube to person number one to
a morgue.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem. And Rand Paul was asking about a doctor called Dr. Barrick, and a Dr. Shi Zheng Li from the Wuhan Virology Institute. And Senator Paul asked if we were funding through the NIH gain of function research. Dr. Barrick is not doing gain of function research, and if it is, it is according to the guidelines and being conducted in North Carolina, was Fauci's answer. If you look at the grant, if you look at the progress reports, this is all of that from Fauci. It is not gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that and write about it. Fauci later responded in defense of the professor. Senator Paul also notes how Fauci is, quote, in the minority, not labeling Barrick's research gain of function, citing over 200 scientists that said it was gain of function. And so that's the rub. And so he's going to. So I imagine it's going to be very. I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting speech that he's going to give.
Oh man!
Imagine. I'm going to guess it's going to show up like on C-SPAN someplace. You know, C-SPAN will sometimes run these commencement addresses from around the country.
Oh yeah, it'll be out there.
And I think
we'll be front and center.
I think it's going to be interesting to see. Look, it's a world-class university, and it's going to attract world-class people that want to come and speak, or attract people. You're certainly, I mean, you want to talk about getting a headline act. That's a headline act right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a headline act, and a lot of those people don't do that for free.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, they're getting, you know, yeah. I mean, you look at, do some research mm-hmm. on people who have talked, spoken at major universities, mm-hmm. and they're talking, you know, 50 to 100 grand.
Who'd you have at your graduation in college?
Yeah, James Earl Jones.
Okay, so that's a big...
Big name.
That's a big get.
I spoke at, and I think I said this, I spoke at Queen's University mm-hmm. commencement a couple of Saturdays ago for the 2020 class that came back.
Mm-hmm.
They had 70% of their class come
awesome.
Back. Dan Lugo, a terrific president there. And I said to them, 37 years ago, James Earl, I remember the speaker at my graduation, James Earl Jones, but I don't remember what he talked about. I said, my goal mm-hmm. is for you to remember what I talk about, mm-hmm. and I don't care if you remember my name. So I had their recite Rebound several times.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's the way to go.
Yeah.
You know who I had at my graduation?
Who?
I had Marlee Matlin, the actress, and I had Jerry Lewis.
You had two?
Yeah.
At the same graduation?
Yes.
What was it? Doubleheader? You have to go get popcorn?
No, that's how Emerson rolled. Entertainment, baby.
Did they have to get the Zamboni out on the ice between between court periods or what?
Oh, my gosh. I got...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
And it is the Brent Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We decided we were going to come in on this Thursday with just a cold open like they do on SNL.
Yeah.
Just start going.
It's cold as cold.
Cold as cold. I want to talk. We're talking about a lot of heavy things here today, mm-hmm. right? A lot of different heavy topics. I wanted to give something that's kind of inspirational. I wanted to share this. I'm trying to bring a little more positivity in the world, mm-hmm. Coach.
Let's do it.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, as people know, and it's easy to be jaded when you hear this topic, but let's not be jaded about this because it's an interesting story and it's a good story. There's a young girl who wanted to go to Harvard University.
Mm-hmm.
She applied to go to Harvard University. It's an incredibly difficult task to reach that. And now this teenager has shared the powerful essay that got her into Harvard. And it's very interesting to hear this backstory. This year, it's harder than ever to get into Harvard University. The prestigious college announced their lowest acceptance rate ever. They only admitted 1,968 students out of 57,000 applicants. The first-year applicants, you know, are all competing for this. And there's this young woman named Abigail Mack. She wrote what's described as a heart-wrenching essay about her life's journey. She shared some of it on TikTok, but I wanted to share with you some of the wording in this piece. And it's a paper that she wrote about the letter S, the letter S. She wrote, "I hate the letter S. Out of the 164,777 words with S, I only grapple with one. To condemn an entire letter because of its use, 0.0006% of the time, sounds statistically absurd. But that one case changed 100% of my life. I used to have two parents, but now I have one. And the S in parents isn't going anywhere. S follows me," she continued. "I can't get through a day without being reminded that while my friends went out to dinner with their parents, I ate with my parent. As I write this essay, there's a blue line under the word parent telling me to check my grammar. Even Grammarly assumes I should have parents. But cancer doesn't listen to edit suggestions." She went on to explain that she fled the dreaded letter by throwing herself into school activities. She joined clubs, sports, performed in theatrical productions, all in an effort to dull the pain of losing her mom. "I couldn't feel the loss that S left in my life, but I could at least make sure I didn't have to think about it. There were so many things in my life I couldn't control, so I controlled what I could, my schedule." Eventually, she realized she was hiding her pain and decided to face it head on. She honed her interests down to academics, theater, and politics, taking over the S for her own purposes. Now, instead of thinking about the S in parents, she thinks about the double S in passion. S got me moving, but it hasn't kept me going. I don't seek out sadness, so S must stay on the sidelines. And until I am completely ready, motivation is more than enough for me." Abigail's essay earned her a spot at several top colleges like Northwestern, Notre Dame. But when she received a likely letter from Harvard, she couldn't believe her good fortune. She reacted with a lot of screaming and couldn't wait to get her official admission letter. She didn't have to wait long. She has officially been accepted into the class of 2025, and she's excited to pursue her passion in Cambridge, Massachusetts next fall. She plans to study humanities and social sciences, maybe study focusing on French and foreign policy. In the meantime, her essay has gone viral with over 16 million views. She's using her social media platform to help other seniors hone their own college essays and advising them. Pour your passion, whatever it is, into every fiber of your application. She managed to channel her grief and pain into a masterpiece that gained her national attention. She's a great example of other teenagers around the world, and we're certain that her mom is also proud of her. Coach, it's a really touching story, but one thing I wanted to get your thought on was this idea of pour your passion, whatever it is, into every fiber of your application, your work, what have you. That's got to be a spot on thing for you.
Well, it resonates, and her maturity at that age, you know, let's say she's 18 years old, give or take a few months. Mm-hmm. Just her maturity, her poise, the clarity, the creativity, and like you said, pour your passion into every fiber of what you're doing. You know, that's something I try to tell all young people. You know, at that time, you make good decisions. The better decisions you make, the better life you'll have. And, you know, don't get pregnant before you're ready. Don't get into debt. And then you can chase your dreams. You can pour your passion into everything you do. But once you start doing some things that can restrict your decision-making, then it makes it tough. But her passion, her energy, and she talks about, you know, moving from 1S to 2, from the parents with the 1S to passion with the 2Ss, and learned how to look forward, not backwards. And that's something we all can do, but it takes work.
It sure does. Curious to get your thought on this phrase. This is a very mature thought that she's got here. There were so many things in my life I couldn't control, so I controlled what I could, my schedule. That's advanced thinking for someone who's going to be a freshman in college.
Yeah. I think that, you know, people often talk about their losing themselves in a game. Mm-hmm. You know, athletes, when something happens, like my grandmother passed away. I was in ninth grade. And, you know, she was elderly.
Sure.
But I had practice that night. I wanted to go to practice.
Right.
And I went to practice because that was my space that I could control mm-hmm. and enjoy and lose myself in. And that's what she did with her schedule. But you can only suppress that so long.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's going to surface.
Yep.
And that's where you need to be surrounded by smart people that love you, mm-hmm. That can understand the emotions that you will feel, whether it be denial or anger,
sure.
because that'll surface.
Yeah. It's a hugely important point. You know, somebody who pursued a dream and her mother gave her that ability to have that dream.
Yeah.
Which is the ultimate sort of a gift.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I admire Harvard, for looking at the whole person.
Right.
Because sometimes schools get so enamored, and she's probably an awesome student, right?
Yeah,
she's probably
sure.
got the 4-5 and honor society and all that.
Right.
But, you know, I think you got to look at the whole person.
Right.
And can they communicate? Do they have compassion? Mm-hmm. You know, and she obviously is on her way to being a star.
Great stuff. Positive to take with us, especially in a world where there's a lot of negativity. We're going to get a break in here.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show, alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, and lots of stuff out there going on here. So we know we got a gasoline shortage. We got a gasoline shortage. We know that there are labor shortages in the country right
yes.
now, right? There's a shortage of security at the border right now.
Yeah, a lot of shortages.
And you look at all this and you go, okay, wait, so who's running this railroad? What's going on here?
You know, another thing, and I don't know if you were going this way, but
yes.
we've got a Chick-fil-A sauce shortage.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A is limiting the number of sauces it gives out per order due to a limited amount of sauces in stock?
Yeah, it's an issue. That's my, like, the number one with the chocolate shake.
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A is like...
Are you the traditional barbecue guy, or are you the...
I don't use any sauces.
Or are you the Polynesian sauce guy?
No sauce. No sauce for me.
No sauce for you. No sauce for you.
No sauce for me. I do go ketchup on my fries if I'm home. In my car, I don't.
No, can't do. You can't do that. You can't be that guy.
But I usually order the number one with the chocolate shake.
Wow.
Large fry. And whatever my son or family want. And by the time I get home,
mm-hmm.
my meal's done. And I do the drive, the pickup at the lot. Get the app. It's awesome. My man, Darren Wiggins, up in Mooresville.
Oh, yeah.
He's the man.
They're limiting you to one dipping sauce per item. At the 2,600 locations.
Yeah.
So this opens up a bigger question here, because you talk about the Colonial Pipeline and all that other stuff. So here's what I heard somebody say on Bloomberg News. It was one of these super smart, like CFO, CIO, CEO types.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall. It was a female CEO who was talking about why it is we're experiencing these disruptions in the economy. And I think this is kind of interesting. She said, we shut the economy down in a fairly organized fashion, right? The states came out and they said, we're shutting it down,
mm-hmm.
closing the schools, doing all this stuff. So everybody starts getting channeled into their home.
Right.
And we get used to that. And she said, unfortunately, on the other side, we're inflating this balloon super huge. We're not inflating
right.
this balloon over here. And you're having all this wobbliness with the economy. Like, I could go woo woo woo, like wobbly sounds.
Your sound effects have been awesome today.
So the thing is, Coach, you have no way to control the economy where you go, okay, you may open up business
right.
now. Like Florida's wide open, Texas is wide open. So that's why you have the shortages, because maybe you got something in Michigan, and Gretchen Whitmer hasn't opened Michigan up enough to get the stuff out.
I don't agree. I don't agree with that at all.
Interesting.
And that person's probably a lot smarter than I am, but that has nothing to do with the pipeline. That was a hacker.
Well, that's a hack.
Okay.
Right.
And
ketchup shortages.
And to me, it has nothing to do with the steals or the car. You can't find cars. My son bought a used Toyota Tacoma, and I think it was like $23,000. Mm-hmm. He has a Mustang that we were looking to maybe should we sell it, keep it. Mm-hmm. And we can get more money for it now than when we bought it about a year ago. It's hard to find. I work with a car dealer, Jeff Shue, Mooresville Ford, and they don't have inventory. There's no inventory because of the steel issue. The chips. So I don't think that has anything to do with everything being opened up. Quite frankly, the car business, a lot of businesses had record years in 2020.
Oh, sure.
A lot of business. The only businesses, the tourism and restaurants, they got crushed, right? Hotels, a lot of hotels in Charlotte have been going bankrupt. But you're talking about other industries hit it out of the park.
Well, if you've got a car that you no longer need or use, you could always reach out to carsforkids.com. Anyways, it's I endorse that.
But so I don't. I don't think it has anything to do with the gates being like. It's almost like. When you were telling me, it's like a racetrack, right?
Right.
You put the horses, speaking of Bob Baffert, you put the horses in the stalls.
Yes, sir.
In an organized fashion, and then you open them up all at once, and boom, they go out. And then sometimes they bump, and they trip, and, they got a, no pun intended, jockey for position.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like the economy, right? But our economy, a lot of these things have been really kicking tail in 2020. So... the shortages, the gas again, that's to me self-inflicted. Like, how can we in today's day and age not be protected from a hack on a pipeline? Like, what's next?
Well, that's a good point. And so let me further complicate this, because I did see this on Fox Business earlier today. Do you know that they're short 25% for truck drivers to get out and haul stuff? Specifically, what they're talking about is like if hauling fuel. People are leaving the business. People are idled for other reasons. Maybe they're getting money instead. And you can't replace these interstate truckers that are charged with hauling all this stuff. What are you supposed to do at that point? But, and we're not allowed to build pipelines.
But I'll go back to, is it due to the economy? No, that's politics. Mm-hmm. That's freaking giving out stimulus checks to people that then have no motivation to work.
Okay, so let me read a tweet to you, because this is right on point. This is from Jules 32566 #resist. So you kind of know what's going on here. We are closed until more than paid time hours are offered with insurance. Until women can get enough hours to afford childcare. Until you don't have to work three jobs and still choose between food or housing. Get the blanking idea?
No.
Well, I replied and I said, move to a red state. Because all that is the case with regulation in the blue states. But the fact of the matter is, people are sitting here and they're saying, oh, no, I demand this to go back to work. I demand that to go back to work. Well, wages are going up. Amazon and McDonald's are paying more in wages now. It's going up.
It is, and you and I talked about this earlier in preparation.
Yeah.
Is that the government's way
of
raising the minimum wage?
That's right. So you dole out a bunch of money to people, and then now guess what? If you want them to go work, you got to offer them $19 an hour to show up and work. But it's only going to hold on for so long, because the reason why the government wants to take it to $15 or $20 an hour is because it's indexed for the union wage. If the minimum is $15, the union wage has to be X percent above the wage in the country, the minimum wage in the country.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Country. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brent Winterbull Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. And we welcome back to the program Mr. Bo Thompson himself, host of the Bo Thompson Morning Show. Good to have you back, buddy.
Good afternoon, fellas.
It is good to have you here as we look at some of these big stories that are out there moving, Bo Thompson. Let's start with the big story of the day. It happened just as we were coming onto the air. The announcement by the CDC that those who are vaccinated can now go outdoors, be indoors, no mask, regardless of group size, what have you. Is this that date certain that you and I have been speculating about sort of theoretically for the last 48 hours about when we get rid of the masks?
Well, you broke the news for me because you texted me. You said, well, my date certainly wasn't today, but I'll take it. And I didn't know it had happened yet, so I'm going, what is he talking about? And then I put two and two together, and I went, wow, it. And then I Googled, and then, of course, I saw what was going on. But I wondered for a second, or I guess I should ask you, so is this your edict? Did you tell someone in power in the CDC what you were thinking, and now it's so?
No. Believe if I had that kind of power, I would figure out a way to get us all gasoline. But no.
Well, that's true, too.
It is interesting, though, because now we've got a series of challenges in front of us, Bo Thompson, and it's things like businesses, our own business here, right? We have a mask mandate in place here to be in this building. I don't know if they're going to lift that, despite the fact that people here have been vaccinated. Some haven't been vaccinated, I imagine. But this is going to get very interesting very quickly. Joe Biden, President Biden, came out and took a bit of a victory lap. He said you can now shake hands and you can also hug, which seems pretty bold considering that this afternoon when he first talked about the pipeline issue, he came out in a mask, but he departed with no mask. You think they cobbled this thing together quickly to try to get a win? What do we think?
Well, and I heard some of what he said today, too, and I thought there was one particular sentence that struck me. He said, you've earned the right to do something that Americans are known for all around the world, greeting others with a smile. That those few words, you've earned the right,
yeah,
just has a weird ring to it, don't you think?
Yes, it does. So are we now free to barbecue in our backyard with a group?
Well, I mean, it just sounds like going forward, you got to check in with the president for permission. And yeah. I know what it means.
Sure, of course.
The choice of words, given all of the politics of the last year and mask wearing, and you know, it seemed to be like maybe there might have been a better way to have said that.
Somebody on Twitter posted this phrase, this question: what's the term we will all use when referencing life pre-COVID? And Karen Feinerman, who's a very high-profile investment person, is on CNBC, replied, normal.
Yeah.
Normal.
Or like we've said, in years to come, when you talk about kids that were, and not kids that were born, because I think there will be a baby boom from this last year, I have no doubt, because so many people were confined mm-hmm. in small spaces. But mm-hmm. I do think that these kids that have gone, especially the you know, the adolescents, the middle and high school students who've had to go through what's already a tough experience, like high school and middle school, during a pandemic, I think in future years they will be referred to as the quarantines.
The quarantines.
I didn't coin that. I heard somebody say that. But, I mean, it certainly has a alliterative ring to it, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely it does. And then there's this tweet that just moved from Joe Bruno, somebody you know well over at SOC Channel 9. He said, while the gas shortage is causing Wake County schools to go remote tomorrow. So here we have the reopening in terms of the masking and whatnot. And Wake County schools are going remote tomorrow because of the gas mask.
Well, you mentioned life before the pandemic,
yeah,
normal. One thing I think, and we've touched on this before, the one thing I think has gone away forever is the proverbial snow day, right? I think now there is the ability to now that you have the infrastructure in place mm-hmm. to have school from home anytime there's a reason or even a worry about it. I think there will be more days when perhaps they'll go ahead and revert into remote mode. In the past, it's been so much speculation. Are they going to do a snow day? We're going to wait
yeah.
and until late tonight or even early tomorrow morning, because I'm on the air a lot of times waiting to hear if they're going to cancel school or not.
Right.
Well, now, you know, it's I think now that you have the remote option, that everybody knows how that works and it's easy to cut to fall back into that, I think that's going to be used in cases when the area, you know, it's a gray area and the decision will be made sooner, because you can still have school, you just have to have it in a different place.
That's a great point. Do we expect that we'll start to see younger people getting these vaccines, Bo? What do we think?
Well, in my family, we have. I took my 14-year-old son, soon to be 15, this afternoon, right after he got out of school. There's a Novant clinic out on East Independence Boulevard. I think it's in the place if people, you know, old-school charlatans remember when there was a Circuit City out on East Independence. It's either where the Circuit City was or it's in that same building. But I have to tell you, my wife told me when he gets home from school, go ahead and take him out there. And I thought, wow, this is the first day. I wonder if this is the right day to go, or maybe I should give it a few days. You know, there's probably going to be lines. And I got to tell you, it was a well-oiled machine. We were in and out of there in less than 15 minutes.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Well, it looks like they have gotten this they've gotten this sort of stuff down pretty pat. Let me pivot you over to one other topic here that is of mutual interest to us. I'm going to call an audible here at the line, and Coach is sitting here. Obviously, I know he was talking about this earlier today. How are we feeling about the potential of a play-in 7-8 Celtics-Hornets to determine advancement into the playoff picture?
Well, let me ask a question, and forgive me if he's already answered it, but I didn't hear the early part of the show today. But, Coach Daugherty, do you like the play-in addition to the NBA?
You know, I don't know yet. My initial reaction is no, because I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist. But I reserve the right to experience it and then make a decision. I think more games that have a level of playoff intensity are probably a good thing for the game.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing I've heard said over and over the last several days is a lot of times with the NBA, you get to this point in the season and a lot of teams are kind of sleepwalking through because either they've sewn up their playoff spot or they're so far out of it that they're not playing for anything. You get a few teams that are battling for those last few spots, but in this scenario, you know, there are very, very important games right down to the wire, and the Hornets know this because they're going through it, and they're still trying to figure out, you know, where they're going to fall in this play-in scenario. But I have to say, I was initially skeptical. I watched it happen during the bubble, but knowing that that's not quite how it's – I need to see it in some semblance of a regular season, which is where we are right now. But I loved what they did with baseball last year. I didn't think I'd like it, and the play, you know, the baseball tournament to get in, it makes it like the NCAA tournament. And I know that when you've played 80 games, that seems like, you know, one and done or two and done seems like, wow, that's a tough way to end. But people are interested, I feel like, right now, and I'm interested. So I'm like you. I'm going to wait and see how I feel about it after it's over. But right now, I'm much more glued to the NBA than I normally would be right now.
Yeah, and we have they have decided. The seeding came out this morning, all right? And so even with some games left over, Hornets will be playing the Celtics, and that's kind of cool, right? For, you know, do we say we made the playoffs? Do we say we made postseason, right?
That's a good point.
But either way, there's some exciting basketball to be played.
For sure.
And the chance that we could beat the Celtics, because the Celtics are going in a bad direction.
Oh, yeah.
I think they lost 8 out of the last 11. Mm-hmm. They lost to Cleveland the other day, which was a clinching game for them. But they're dealing with injuries, as are we. I think there's a great opportunity for the Hornets, the fans, to extend the season a little bit and create even more excitement going into next year.
Well, here's another thing, Brett and Coach. You bring up the Celtics. A couple of storylines. Number one, obviously Kemba Walker.
Yep.
Here we are playing Kemba Walker when he, you know, made his name as a Hornet and exited a few years ago. And also, if you're talking about historical precedent, I've been saying recently in the morning, talking with Zoki, that I feel like this Hornets team with LaMelo Ball and the young upstart players they have reminds me of the same kind of buzz that the team had around it when Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning arrived back in the early 90s. And The Hornets' first ever playoff series that they ever won was against the Boston Celtics. It was Alonzo Mourning hitting that shot that sent them to play the Knicks in the second round. But that was 1993, and that was the first time they ever won a series. So they've been to the playoffs since that a lot and won some series, but you know, it's kind of a cool connection back to when the Hornets first burst onto the scene, and a lot of people in Charlotte feel like this has kind of been a new beginning this season anyway.
We'll be watching it very, very closely. We'll be listening very closely for all the developments overnight as we get into the morning show tomorrow. Who's your special guest in the 9?
Tomorrow morning in the 9 o'clock hour, Ashley Anderson, who is a local anchor on WCCB. She'll be with me. Also, at just past 8 o'clock, at 8:05, I have two announcements. I'll announce the guest list for next week, which is set just as of a few hours ago. And I have another announcement about the future of the show. And by the future of the show, I mean 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., something to let everybody know about tomorrow just after we get on the air. So,
all right, I'll be listening to that one. That sounds awesome, Bo Thompson. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Thank you.
Hey, all right, have a great night. That's Bo Thompson.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Well, 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 it's coming up on that time. Charlotte at 6, my favorite part of the day with Mark Garrison.
You always say that.
Well, it's true. So, nothing really big happening today. No. What have we got in the news?
Well, the gasoline scavenger hunt will continue for up to 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Should get a little better day by day, but yeah, it's not going away quickly.
Okay.
We'll also let you hear some punches at the pump, a throwdown that looked like something out of WWE.
Holy cow. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Center for Disease Control saying, take it off, the mask. If you're fully vaccinated, and that's a conflict in North Carolina because the governor says you can't take it off, his order's still in effect. So Cooper says he'll review that.
Is he going to make a speech tomorrow or something to clarify this?
I'm wondering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we may hear something. 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Thursday, well-known chicken joint with some problems, and a restaurant where the manager didn't know, if the employees are sick, they can't work. Oh, okay.
What? Oh, my gosh. All right, well, I'm going to be tuned in and with the barf bag handy.
There you go.
Have a great night. Mark Garrison's coming up just after 6. Coach Doherty, I just want to say it's been a pleasure and a fun time with you today. Thank you so much for coming by. And people, buy that book, Rebound from Pain to Passion.
Thank you. It's always fun to be with you and Josh, and we missed TJ today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really, Thursdays are a highlight of my week. Thank you.
Great stuff. I'm Brett Witterbull. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.